Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is
Cruise Radio Rewind.
Real reviews from real cruisers.
Cruise Radio Rewind. My name is Doug Parker. A mixed bag of questions today. I have a couple of weather-related questions. So to tackle those is Action News meteorologist Greg D. He'll be taking two questions there. Also, cruise line stocks. Wow. Talk about losing some money over the past 7 days. Cruise industry analyst Stuart Chiron from CruiseGuy.com stops by to tackle cruise line stocks. Also going to talk about the coronavirus hysteria that's made its way over to the Caribbean now. And whatever happened to those two ships over in Asia, Diamond Princess and Westerdam? Stuart has details on those. But first, we have Action News meteorologist Greg D. The first question comes from Debbie. What's the reason behind all the high winds this winter in the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic seaboard?
Thanks, Doug. That's a really good question. We've seen a lot of wind across the Gulf, the Atlantic, and even the Caribbean the last couple of weeks and really through the winter season. It really is tied to winter itself. During this time of year, the storm track shifts farther south, so you get frontal systems moving into places like South Florida or Cuba or maybe even down towards the Western Caribbean. That tends to bring a weather change, and they could be accompanied by a lot of strong winds. Now, this pattern usually continues through March, but by the end of March and the beginning of April, the storm track does begin to drift north, so we see the winds return to more calm and pleasant conditions as we head through spring.
All right, Greg, we have one more for you. This is from David in Phoenix. My ship was delayed into Galveston last week because of fog. The captain touched on it briefly and it being a certain type of fog. Are there different types?
Doug, that question of fog has really been an interesting one this season. Even here around the Tampa area, we've seen a lot of sea fog offshore, and that's what your listener is referring to. It's sea fog, and that is a type of fog that forms when warm air comes in and makes contact with cooler ocean waters. Now, as many of your listeners probably know, there's been very little snow across the northern and eastern United States this year, and that's mainly been tied to a lot of warm, humid air coming in out of the Caribbean up towards the eastern half of the United States. When that warm, humid air makes contact with cooler ocean waters, it can't hold as much water. A lot of that humidity, the moisture content, condenses out, and that creates the sea fog. It typically just hangs offshore unless the winds turn onshore. Then, similar to what you see in Southern California with the marine layer, also a type of sea fog, it can move in and lower visibilities and slow down sea, and in some cases, road traffic as well.
Action News meteorologist Greg D. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg D. Weather. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Doug.
And as always, if you have a question, drop me a line, doug@cruiseradio.net, or email me a voice memo. You can record it into your phone. Same email address, doug@cruiseradio.net. All right, jumping over to cruise industry analyst Stuart Chiron from CruiseGuy.com. Hey, Stuart.
Hey, Doug. Great to speak with you.
A lot to tackle today. Let's first start with the Westerdam, one of the Holland America ships that had a... Was it a scare or was it a real incident?
Well, it was more of a scare, Doug. Unfortunately, one passenger that had disembarked the ship a few days later had flown from Cambodia to Malaysia and was preparing to get on a flight home. Somehow, triggered a thermal sensor. They did a test, and they believed that they had a confirmed case of coronavirus. After additional testing and days later, it was determined that it was a false positive. So essentially, it may have been a tainted test, and she, along with her husband and the other passengers and crew on board, were negative, and she was allowed to proceed home. Unfortunately, the ship was denied boarding or docking in those other ports. And I think what's important that a lot of people don't understand is why the ship was refused docking. And it had nothing to do with the coronavirus or any confirmed cases on the ship. It was simply the ship had left, I believe it was February the 1st, and the new procedures about denying boarding to people that have been to or have passports from Hong Kong, China, and Macau were on board the ship because the ship had allowed passengers on in Hong Kong as it was scheduled. So once the new procedures came out and coronavirus spreading, especially with the cases on the Diamond Princess increasing, those other ports denied arrival of the Westerdam until Cambodia thankfully allowed them to dock and get those passengers tested and off the ship.
Okay, so what's next for Westerdam?
It's a good question. I believe that the ship canceled a couple of sailings, and now that, I don't know what they're going to do yet with the next sailing. I don't think they've released how far out they're canceling the sailings. But, after the U.S. State Department has warned, passengers, especially U.S. passengers from sailing in Southeast Asia, I think this is going to essentially follow suit with a lot of the other ships that have either canceled future sailings and it may get redeployed to another region for the time being.
Now, let's go over to Diamond Princess. This was a total crap show. I mean, it started with a couple of cases, then it got to like 700. What's the status of the ship now, and what's next for Diamond Princess?
Well, right now, all that's remaining are the crew, and testing is currently going on. So at some point, they're going to have to remove the crew. And right now, they have proposals out to give the ship a deep cleaning, which will include replacing all of the mattresses and many other items on board the ship. They do have a scheduled date to get the ship back into service of April 29th. So we're talking, essentially 2 months from now. Princess is hoping that Diamond Princess will be ready to sail again, but they are planning a very extensive deep clean of the ship.
What kind of process is this deep clean and sanitize? Like, are we talking a week or longer?
No, it's going to be longer. I mean, right now, essentially, we're talking 2 months from now. This is going to be an extensive process that I think will take more than a month to deal with. I mean, there's a lot to do. This is a very large ship, and they've got a big job ahead of them.
Unrelated, but wasn't Diamond Princess built in Japan?
Diamond Princess and Sapphire Princess were both built there at the Mitsubishi Yards in Japan. Which is one of the reasons that the ship is so well liked is because it was home built.
And taking things a little closer to home here, it looks like we have a little bit of coronavirus Caribbean hysteria.
Yeah, well, it's very unfortunate that, and I guess not only is it unfortunate, but it's very disappointing because MSC's Mirabilia was refused entry into Ocho Rios, Jamaica, and then Georgetown Grand Cayman followed suit. Essentially, what happened was there was one crew member on board the ship on Mirabilia that had the flu. So common protocol is for the cruise ships as they approach each port, they are to report any illnesses on board and provide all relevant information to local authorities. Unfortunately, Jamaica jumped the gun and figured it was coronavirus when it was just the common flu. And then without seeing any paperwork, Grand Cayman said, hey, if Jamaica denied it, then we're going to deny their arrival as well. So unfortunately, the passengers on board missed both ports. At this point, there are no reported cases on board this ship, nor of any in the MSC fleet.
The past couple of days, I've seen all kinds of stories like cruise ship turned away because of coronavirus. Is the media embellishing this?
I mean, this is something that is fueling headlines. And, there's people that are very, let's say there's a lot of concerned people. There are people that are going on cruises in the very near future. And they're wondering, could this ship have been, stuck and quarantined? Mm-hmm. Based on a mistake. And it's just, unfortunately, nothing like this has ever happened in the world, for that matter. And there's a lot of trial and error going on as policies are being adjusted, procedures are being adjusted or created and then enacted on board these ships. I just came off a ship 10 days ago, and it was a wonderful experience. It was very consistent with other cruises I've been on. Based on available information today, I would still have no problem getting on a non-Southeast Asia cruise, mm-hmm. whether it's going to, you know, planning to go to Alaska or Hawaii or the Caribbean, the Panama Canal, Europe. I'd still be very comfortable going on cruises to these regions. The cruise lines are doing a lot to protect the passengers, especially at boarding. I noticed brand new questionnaires asking whether or not you've personally visited China, Hong Kong, or Macau, or come in contact with someone from there within the last 14 days. They have thermal scanners there that are taking people's body temperatures, and people are subject to secondary medical screening where they could be denied boarding based on their current medical condition. The cruise lines are not taking chances with passenger nor ship safety. And, I mean, this is something that they're taking very seriously. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, the news loves the headlines. They love the attention. These are great stories. These are big, amazing ships that, you know, provide terrific backdrops. But I think for the most part, Doug, there's a lot of outlets that are taking this seriously and trying to provide objective perspectives. And
yeah.
I think there's a lot of consumers that are watching, listening, and reading and just wondering, I mean, is it safe to go? And I can tell you, based on current available information, the non-Southeast Asia sailings are safe to travel on.
Let's talk about cruise line stocks. 1 month ago, Carnival Corporation was at 46, NCL was at 56, and Royal Caribbean was at 130. And right now, Carnival sits at 33, NCL 36, and Royal Caribbean at 83. Is this stemming from coronavirus?
Absolutely. I mean, it's entirely. I mean, you have cruise lines that are providing constant updates. You know, Royal Caribbean, I think, just adjusted their projection from 65 cents to 90 cents per share as far as an estimated impact to a coronavirus. You know, they're dealing with, they're modifying a lot of different itineraries. There's a lot of uncertainty, going on, especially in Asia and in other places, and currently possibly Italy. And, you know, how is this, you know, going to impact, you know, bookings? Our passengers are going to continue to book. You know, what about the current demand for cruises? You know, then you've got travel restrictions and, you know, cancellations. And, you know, what about, you know, ports that or destinations that are, you know, maybe rejecting, you know, cruise ship arrivals? It's an interesting time. But, you know, I think one analyst had said, you know, after Costa Concordia, the cruise lines, were down to eight times forward earnings after Costa Concordia. And right now, the cruise stocks are higher than that. So it certainly hasn't reached, Costa Concordia levels. I certainly don't think it's hit any, obviously nowhere near, what happened in 9/11. But it's just, right now there's been a slowdown in booking simply because I believe people are just caught up in the news cycles. They're watching what's going on and then, hoping that, this kind of subsides. And then they'll, reinitiate their travel plans. This isn't just cruise industry wide. This is happening, across the entire travel industry. Airlines, hotels, are all in this along with the cruise lines. And it's unfortunate, but I think that cooler heads will prevail as they always have. The cruise industry is very resilient, and will bounce back, hopefully in short order.
We're at 52-week lows for all of these stocks, pretty much. Is it a buyer's market?
Could be, and either now or within the next week. It all depends on how long the reported cases continue to rise or, hopefully, begin to subside.
How much control do the cruise lines have on their prices? Like, is there a safety valve in case it gets too low?
It's always it's a buyer's market. Sometimes it's a seller's market, but they're not going to, have the knee-jerk reactions that were experienced after 9/11. So I believe the pricing, they're going to hold it as close to where it is now as they can, waiting for that surge in new bookings that will inevitably come. I mean, after 9/11, Doug, you'll remember it was just a question of at what price do you feel your personal safety is okay. So you right. may not have been feeling safe at $12.99, but when the price may have dropped to $4.99, you felt it was okay to go ahead and give it a shot. I don't think we're anywhere near that type of a situation. There's a great deal of confidence in the cruise industry. The brands are holding well, and I believe that this hopefully will, you know, just be a short-term impact. You know, in a lot of cases, Doug, I feel safer on a cruise ship than in a lot of places, mm-hmm. considering the protocols that are enacted and how far the cruise lines go to protect the passengers and crew.
I want to break this down because just for my own clarification and understanding of this. So last Friday, Carnival was at $41. News got out and people basically, they were scared and they started selling off their Carnival stock, and that makes it drop basically $10 almost?
Yeah. People react differently, and some people panic and just want to, you know, they want to buy and sell. I mean, there could be a lot of day traders, and there's a myriad of reasons, but the bottom line is that what goes down has to go up.
All right. Thanks for the clarification. Cruise industry analyst Stuart Chiron, found at cruiseguy.com, where you can follow him on Twitter at cruiseguy. Thank you, Stuart.
My pleasure, Doug.
Also, don't forget about Cruise Radio Rewind, our daily quick hits of the news. You can find it just opposite of this podcast. Search Cruise Radio News. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Take care.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.